Amen. Say hello to somebody this morning. Welcome somebody to the house. Man, we're so happy that you are here with us today. And if we haven't met before, my name is Aaron, and I'm honored to get to just be here and be able to share God's word with you today. If this is your first time at Foundation Church, or maybe you've been coming for a few weeks, listen, we're so happy you're here. And listen, God is even happier. Like that you are here, and we believe God has you here for a reason and for a purpose. And so if you're ready for that today, just say amen. 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 Let's go. Today, listen, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. And let me just kind of set up where we were last week. If you were to rank yourself from 0 to 10, all right, 0 to 10 on how angry of a person you are, what would you rank yourself? Any nines in the room? I'm just kidding. Don't you say yes. This isn't a confession time for you. But yeah, what would it rank? Like, what would your score be? Is it very high? Is it low? Like, over the past week, let's get more detailed. What made you angry over the past week? Was it a person? Was it a place? Was it a thing? Like, what was it that brought anger to your soul last week? If I know you and I know myself, that probably each and every single one of us had something that made us angry over the past week. Whether it was a person, maybe it was a situation that you've been struggling with, maybe it was something you thought was buried and gone, but yet the past just came and hit you just right in the face. What is it? What is it that made you angry? But most importantly, what we've been talking about last week is that really to identify that you are angry is one thing, but to get to the root of your anger, that's a completely different thing. And that's our goal over this past week and the weeks to come, is that we want to help you identify and see what's at the root of what you've been experiencing in your life. Maybe it's not anger, maybe it's an anxiousness over the past week. Maybe it's a connection to your worth over your past week. Or maybe it's like you're still struggling in the same sins or the same struggles and the same mindset that you've been struggling for years. And you keep asking the question, like, why can't I change? We want to help you get to the very root of that. Now, I've got to be just very straightforward with you. In order for you to get to the root of it, you've got to be honest. You've got to be honest. We wanted to take you last week to just to get to see, like, why do you get angry, or why do you get whatever, fill in the blank, and what is it you're believing about yourself? What is it that you're believing that God is doing or God has done, but that really is painting a picture? If you're honest, you're going to say what you really believe about God. Now, last week, we gave everybody the permission to be extremely honest. What you've seen on the outside of that permission was some words like this, that God is not there, that God is a liar, that God is not helpful, that God is unkind. Now, if we're all honest, you're like, I don't believe any of that. But yet our lives portrayed us that oftentimes we do. And so we left you there last week with a little bit of like, what is it you're honestly believing to be true about who God is that you don't want to believe anymore? And we want to lead us today to going from the root to really trying to find some more positive fruit into our lives. I know this for a fact. You don't want to be angry, do you? I don't want to be angry. My kids don't want me to be angry. My relationships and friends, they don't want me to live in anger. And so whatever it is you're experiencing, I know for a fact that you don't want to stay in that place. So how do we move from the honesty to freedom? How do we move from like what's been causing us death in our life to actually life? There's one thing. It's repentance. Today, we are going to be diving into what will take you from a place of disbelief to true belief. It is repentance. Now, many of you, when I say the word repent, you just got triggered. Because repentance was like what you heard over and over throughout your life. And your connection to repentance was whether or not you were going to hell or not. It was like turn and burn. Like maybe that's how you've been living your life. What must you do? You must repent or else. That maybe is how you've heard it said. But I want to take a deeper connection. I want to take even what I would believe it maybe is a truer connection to what Jesus is inviting us into. We got to go backpacking with some guys a few weeks ago, and I got to take my son Asher, and there was a moment that happened on day two at about 10 a.m. We had just left camp, and we were heading to the trail, but what we didn't know was that when we chose this time of year to go backpacking, that we would still be feeling the effects of the floodwaters of February and March. So when we went to the Red River Gorge, the water was up pretty much everywhere. Every creek was flowing like at full capacity. And oftentimes the trails would weave in and out and would require you to do a river crossing, a river crossing. Now there's two ways to cross a river. You can take all of your shoes and socks off and carry everything, and there's a good chance you will stay dry. Now, rocks get slippery, and you never know. Or God does this thing where he will have a log that will fall, and it's just like it's screaming at you to just try it. Just like try to make your way across it. And so on day two, this is at 10 a.m., there was a log. There was a creek that we had to cross, and there was a log that was down. No joke, that log went from here to the end of the room. That was how big the log was. That's how big the river crossing was. And so I'm looking at my son. We're dry, and I'm like, I'd really like to stay dry. I'd really like to not spend the rest of our day like hiking in wet clothes. But what we kept noticing was like there was a way that we could go. There was a path that we could take across this log. Some very courageous men said yes. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, ain't no way. Ain't no way am I doing that. And I'm looking at Asher, and he's like, Dad, we can do it. I'm like, son, you don't understand. So it's like in the process, right? I want to bring this connection home. If like oftentimes we have direction for our life. We have decisions over and over that we have to make to like go in one direction or the other. And what was it? What is it for each of us that allows us to go in one direction and then completely shift it to the other way? What is it? It's our mind. It's our beliefs. I knew that I probably could. But I also knew that the safer and better way, that I would not necessarily the right way, but the better way was for me and my son to take the longer way, to take our shoes off and to cross that river. That is like a thing of repentance. You see, repentance at its core, we like to talk about behavior modification. Your life is going in one direction. You are anxious, and so you need to stop being anxious. Or you've been addicted to this particular sin, and you need to stop. And so you have this connection to repentance of like literally turning and running in the opposite direction. But what is it that will allow you to go to like move your life from one direction to the other? It's your mind. It's your mind. So when we come to this place of repentance, as you've seen where we left you last week, is that you are believing something about who God is. Here's what we're calling you to do today. Repent. To change your mind. To change what you believe to be true about who God is. Last week's was the invitation to be honest. This week is an invitation to repent. And listen, I want to share with you today that repentance is not what especially bad people do, but it is rather the normal part of the Christian life. It is the way to the Father. It is the way to have relationship to it. And here's what I want you to know is that you can choose to keep going in the direction that your life is taking you right now with the beliefs you have. Repentance, we can never make you repent. But I want you to know that failure to repent will leave you right where you are. Failure to repent will leave you in your fears, in your doubts, in your anxiousness, and literally in the sins that you have been caught in for years. It will leave you in the place of unworthiness and inadequacy because it is your beliefs that will keep you captive and going there. So failure to do so will just simply leave you in the same place that you've been. But we invite you today to repent. And today we're inviting you to maybe see repentance in a much different way than maybe you've seen it and you've heard it before. I don't want you to be stuck today. I want you to hear that one more time. Like, my deepest heart for you today is that you would leave freer. That you would leave today not being consumed by the thoughts that have brought you death and destruction, but that you will now have new beliefs that will bring you life today in Jesus' name. And here's what I believe. It's possible. And so we're going to go to a passage that speaks on this topic that really even shows us an example of a group of individuals that have done what we are trying to do. And it is in 2 Corinthians. So this 2 Corinthians is, we're going to be in chapter 7. Let me give you a little bit of context, a little bit of a backstory. So Corinthians was written to a church, the church in Corinth, a group of people just like us. And they received a letter from Paul. And he's basically, it's a letter that is both encouraging, but also it's trying to identify within them, hey, you're not living your life in accordance to who you are in Christ. There was issues, there was problems. Let me just see if this resonates with you. Paul found that there was arrogance in the church. Paul found that there was pride in the church. Paul found that there was like self-actualization or justification. And he also found that there was sexual immorality everywhere. All sorts of problems in connection to how the church was living and disconnecting themselves from what God had for them. So Paul writes him a letter. It's like, listen, I love you and I'm thankful for you, but you are royally messing things up, royally believing the wrong things. And your belief is leading to not only like the desecration of the church, but literally it's leading to the desecration of your life. And so he writes them letters. Now this ain't love letters. Some of you today will be like, man, I don't want a letter like that. But oftentimes you've already feel within your soul that you may need a letter like this. Because you have something you're believing that's just not true. And Paul sent this letter, even though it caused him grief, to begin to see that they would repent, that there's an opportunity for them to repent and step into what Jesus has for them. And so if you're looking at your Bible in chapter 7, there's even a little side note that says here, Paul's joy. So we're going to kind of begin there in verse 9. It says, as it is, so like as it stands right now between us and between our relationship, listen, I've said some hard things. I've said some difficult things. I've said some very stern things to you. And as it is, I rejoice. He's not saying that he rejoices because like he called them out. He goes on. He says, no, I rejoice. It says, not because you were grieved, not because this brought sorrow to your soul, not because this was like really hard for you to hear, but because you were grieved into repenting. He's so joyful because he was able to identify something in their lives, and he's finding now through Titus that they are actually changing. They're changing the way they think, they're changing the way they act, they're changing the way they love and the way they serve. That he's so thankful for it. And here's what I want you to know is that, listen, when it comes to repentance, repentance will always be a response. It's always a response. Now, there are many different ways that we could respond to the negativity or to somebody calling us out or somebody identifying in us something here. I think that grief is something that we would connect with. If somebody were to call us out on a particular struggle or call us out on what we're believing, there would be sorrow and there could be some grief. This word grief is used 5 times and it's talking about like this deep distress, this deep physical and emotional sorrow that they would have. But I want you to think about yourself for a moment. You receive a letter where you've been identified by your non-belief or your unbelief. And somebody is identifying that for you. What's your immediate response? Mine's justification. Well, you know, this is why I acted the way I did. Or this is why I believe the way I did. Or there could even be arrogance or pride. Because oftentimes, like, we just don't want to receive a bad report. But we find that they don't do that. They repent. The Corinthian church, they hear this word and they literally repent. And so repentance will always be a choice. And that's why I said that earlier. Repentance will always be a choice for you. You can choose to like take what maybe the Spirit has brought to you over the past week or brought to you today about your wrong belief. And you can choose today to lead into and step into repentance or not. Some of you today, you're just like, I just want to stay bitter. I just want to stay angry. I actually just want to stay in this sin that I've been in. Like, I want to stay in this relationship tension that I have with the Lord. But Jesus is like, no, you don't have to stay there. You can repent. And this leads us, even more into the text. It says, for you felt a godly grief so that you suffered no loss through us. I want you to see that repentance, that it comes from God. So they have been identified as a wrong belief. They've been identified as a struggle. And then within them comes this thing called conviction, or it's sorrow, but it's godly and it's right. So it's like the Holy Spirit, like you say something to your spouse and then you immediately go like, God, I should not have said that, right? You ever been there before? Or like your kid starts doing the thing that you've told him not to do for 20 times, or you said, hey, let's time to do the dishes, but they still aren't listening. Maybe anybody's been there before. I don't know. Maybe it's this person speaking on my own personal experience. And then you lose it and you say, for the love of all things, get into the kitchen. Yeah. And then you begin to think more and you begin to say worse things, right? Maybe I'm just the only one. And you think, though, immediately, like, God, why can't I be more patient? Or, God, why can't I use a different tone? God, like, why am I, like, always so quick to, like, think this about them? We all have these connections. But I want you to see that God is doing something in us. And, like, from our honesty, from the realization that, like, hey, we still have sin. We still have things we struggle with. And God's saying, hey, I want you to do something with that. I don't want you to be angry to your spouse. I don't want you to live this way, like, continuously. I don't want you to continue to have this doubt. And so you have this godly sorrow that comes up within you. That is a gift from God. Amen. It's not shame. That's not what it is. It's not guilt. Shame and guilt wants to keep you in the place, but godly sorrow is trying to move you to a place where you will get to experience life and freedom. And so when you see this come up within you, there's an opportunity here that God has given you a gift that is saying, it's like His grace. His grace comes in and He says to you, like, you don't have to stay here. You don't have to be stuck in your belief. Because I'm going to graciously give this sorrow into your soul that will, if you allow it, lead you to life, which only happens through repentance. And so repentance, it comes from God. This is prompted by Him. And it says that you will not be harmed by this conviction. You will not be harmed by this suffering, but you will actually be benefited. It says there in the last part of that verse, so that you suffered no loss. There is no loss when it comes to repentance. There is no loss in coming to this place of sorrow and grief. You see, Jesus, through His love and grace, wants to restore you and redeem you. And what does He want to do? To right thinking. To always right thinking. To always right belief. But it's only through the door of repentance. But we also see a few other things here mentioned in this text. If you go on to verse 10, it says, for the godly grief that you have, it says, for godly grief, it produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret, without regret. And so what is it that, like, we are all seeking? It's that the same thing that they were saying, listen, we want to be saved from this. Now, salvation, once again, has been connected to, like, heaven or hell. And that's kind of the ultimate aspect of salvation. That's the ultimate aspect of repentance. Repentance does lead you into, like, into forgiveness of all of your sins. It does lead you into right relationship with the Father. It does lead you to salvation from this life and the eternal. But this word salvation is so much deeper than that. It's like right now you can be rescued from your belief. Like right now, you can find legitimate freedom from what you are believing. This word salvation, imagine like a boat, like coming to you, you're on the top of your roof, and it's like, Lord, where does my hope come from? It's like, my hope comes from you, like my hope and my salvation. It's a deliverance today. This deliverance from, this is where, oh my goodness, like some of you are so caught up in a sin pattern that you're just like, how am I ever going to be delivered from this? But Jesus is like, listen, my repentance will bring salvation. Through repentance, you can experience deliverance. You will find safety in this. With right belief of God in Jesus, you can begin to find the salvation, this freedom. Listen, you don't have to raise your hand, but I know, like in this room, it's like you have fears that you're dealing with and struggles in your mind that you're dealing with. And Jesus is like, I want to bring salvation. What does salvation look like? It's peace coming into your life. When Jesus, he says these words over and over, it's like shalom. Like I am the Prince of Peace, meaning I am the exact opposite of chaos. I don't bring chaos into your world. I actually bring peace into your world. I'm the one that comes and silences the storms. I'm the one that comes walking on water, which is the representation of all chaos. That's who he is. You know, you're struggling with bondage and sin, but Jesus says, listen, you can have freedom in my name because like I have overcome death and all sin, all the powers of darkness. I have overcome them. The anxiety that you have about like what your future holds, Jesus can bring you out of that and save you and deliver you from your anxious thoughts to trust him. Because he says, listen, I've overcome the world. You may have troubles. Absolutely. We all have troubles. I had troubles. But take heart, for I have overcome all that may come against you. Or maybe today it's like your anger is overcoming you in your relationships. But Jesus, like, what is he? He saves you from anger and creates you into a person of love and peace and patience and joy and kindness and self-control. He is literally able to bring salvation to our whole body, mind, soul, and spirit to redeem and to restore us. How beautiful would that be for you in your life today? Wouldn't that be good news for you today? And so I want you to see here is that what this text says is that repentance, it leads to salvation, and salvation is directly connected to life. Today, repentance can lead you to life. Now, the very opposite is said here, and that's kind of where I said, repentance is a choice, repentance is a response, it's a choice, it comes from God, it can lead to life, but he recognizes here, though, that you cannot choose it. It says, for worldly grief, which many of you have, that could be anger, resentment, bitterness, it will only lead to death. Literally, this could be physical and spiritual death that you're walking through or that you have that's going on in your life. And one of the things that's been so strongly connected in our culture is, over the course of the past few years, you've just seen and you find like that there has just been like this mental health crisis. And so many people have mentioned like struggles with anxiety and depression. And that's led to like this uptick in people because of their core beliefs and what they've been struggling with. They say, well, the best thing that I could do is just kill myself. We see suicide rates just continue to climb and continue to go up and up. And so as we recognize like what is at the root of that, oftentimes it's what we believe. I had one of the closest people to me in my life attempted suicide in 2012. And you kept hearing that there was this language years later, opened up about it and said, I just really began to doubt like my worth. And I just believed over and over again that I wasn't good enough. And she said it was like I had these spirits around me just affirming in me that I wasn't good enough and that I'd be better off if I just kill myself. That's like the power of our beliefs. That's the power of our mindset. Like that's the power that what we are believing can have. And it's like the enemy doesn't want you to have life. The enemy just wants to bring more spiritual and physical death upon you. And how's he gonna do it? Right here. right here. The greatest act that you see that culminates in death is literally the physical sense of death, where it's so heartbreaking, it's so difficult or so strong that we're willing just to give our life in response to what we're believing. But Jesus offers us way more. It says here that this repentance will lead to salvation without regret. Without regret. You know what regret is? It's the exact opposite of repentance. So what he's saying here is that I'm offering you repentance. I'm offering you an opportunity to change the way you believe, to change your mindset. And here's what's going to happen. Once you have become so changed, you will never, ever regret experiencing this change. You will never want to change your mind back to where you once were. You will never want to be in bondage to the way that you were before. It's like this promise. You will never regret experiencing life in Jesus' name, ever. If you're wondering today, like, what regrets may you have today? He's saying, like, listen, if you give your life to me, if you choose to trust me, like, if you choose to really come to know me, I promise you, you will have no regrets, none. It's a core conviction that you'll have about who I am. And this is like that invitation we have, like this invitation to repent. You will not regret it. You'll find it's irrevocable. You won't want to change it. Now, as we close here, we get to find that in the Corinthians and Paul, even though they received this letter and they received this challenge that they did repent, and that there's such beauty and joy and comfort that's now found in how their lives were changed and how their beliefs were changed and how they were able to step into that identity that God had for them. They found life. They didn't find death. They found salvation. And so Jesus gives us the same opportunity today. But I begin to ask the question, well, then how does one actually repent? They did it. This is what repentance looks like. It's a response. It's from God. It's a choice that we have. It leads to life. But how do you today actually begin to change your mind? How do you today actually begin to believe something different? And this is where I wanted to help you today. Are you ready? Because this helped me. This helped me. Everything I've learned today about repentance, somebody has spoken into me. And you know what today? I found it to be true. Praise God for it. And so I am a shepherd. I am one that gets to share, like, more so what I have got to encounter and experience. That I hope that you will today as well. Here's what Matt Jackson up here in the front row has taught me for the last 9 months about repentance. You will never, ever, 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 I can keep going, experience repentance, experience a change of your mind, a change of your heart, a change of your life without honesty, humility, and willingness. Amen. Ever. What's the honesty piece? Well, you know what you believe. You have a belief about God that you've been wrestling with that you know is not true. The honesty also connects to humility and understanding that you can't change your belief, can you? You've been trying. You've been trying to do everything according to your own strength, your own power, to change your mind, to change your habits, to change the outcomes of situations. But at the end of the day, you find yourself sitting in the exact same spot. That's the humility piece. You can't. You cannot change your mind. You can't do it. Now, I love how we get to see throughout the world, like, there is a process of, like, change your thinking. Well, listen today, you can try the world's way or you can try God's way. God gives you a power that's greater than yourself that allows you the support and the help to see your mind literally transformed, literally transformed. But are you today willing? Like, are you willing today? That's where I mentioned earlier, some of you feel so stuck in your beliefs because you still hold on to them so tightly. Your struggles, your pains, your past, whatever it may be. But it's like, are you willing? And willingness is like, you let it go. And you let God. You ever heard that before? Like, let go and let God. It's like, that's the aspect. Like, are you today willing for salvation to come? Are you willing? Listen, you can't go any further without those three. Those are both three hard things. But they, man, if you can do it, you're going to find a lot of fruit. But let's continue to walk this out. So say you are honest. Say you are humble. Say you are willing. But then how do we begin to see actual change? Like, where does the power to change come from? Well, here's what you got to know. It doesn't come from yourself. It doesn't come from yourself. It comes from God. And there's two ways that we can tap into what God's doing. It's through prayer and through His Word. You want to see your mind changed? Begin to pray. God, this is what I'm believing about You. This is what I'm believing about my situation. This is what I'm believing about truth. And He has this thing. It's called the Helper. And it's a person. It's called the Holy Spirit that will literally begin to speak truth into your heart and to your life. Begin to reveal to you the truth of who God is. But not only that, He gives you something tangible that's called His Word. And the Word is life. And the Word is connected to who Christ is and what He's done. And so He's given us this tool that tells us all about who God is. And He's saying, tap into it. You want to know who I really am? Let me tell you. You want me to tell you, listen, I'm going to never leave you or forsake you? You want to know that as truth? You'll find it like right here in the Word. Like over and over again, that you will find in Psalm 42 that God is my rock. Jesus is my rock and my salvation. That even though today I may be downcast, it says that you should hope in God because He will again restore my soul. That's a promise. How do I know that promise if I don't have His Word? Well, there's one other way. So you need prayer, you need His Word, but here's one that, man, God has been so gracious and kind. You need a friend. You need a friend. You were never meant to do life alone. You were never meant to do life in isolation. And isolation is where the enemy works. It's where he attacks, it's where he's the most strongest. If he can isolate you, he can keep you down. And so that's what we have as a core part of who we are, is that we grow together. We believe in communion together. We believe that life is better when we can find connections and community. And here's why it's so much better. Because when you are struggling with doubts and unbelief, and you are able to communicate them to a brother, or you're able to communicate them to a sister that doesn't cast judgment on you, but is able then to say, no, listen, though, that's not who you are. Because that's not who God is. And you say, you're right, but I just don't believe it. I said, I know you don't believe it right now, but look how God's moved over the past week. Look what God's done for you already in this week. That's the same God who's meeting you today. We walked this out in our community group on Wednesday night. I'm sitting there in a chair. I'm sharing my struggles. I'm sharing my unbelief. And I had four people around me that were just speaking. This is who God is. This is what's true. This is what you need to say, or this is how you can begin to pray. And let me tell you something. Since Wednesday, life's been good. Life's been good. The anger we talked about before is no longer there. I found truth. I found freedom in who God says that He is. But let me tell you something. You need a friend. You need a friend. One of the easiest ways to begin to have a friendship is to begin to be honest with somebody that you trust. And if they really love you, they will cover you in love, and they will cover you in God's truth. But you begin to find that together. But here's even what I titled this message and why I think it's so important. Listen, today though, what do we do after this? You got to hit repeat. You got to hit repeat. Repentance isn't a once in a lifetime thing. Repentance is continual. Repentance is something that you do daily. Because if we're talking around the same theme, it's like, okay, today you may be full of worth. Like you may know who God says that you are, but yet you're finding that the enemy's planting new lies in your head. Or there's new challenges that are coming your way and you're struggling with how to cope. And you're struggling with new unbelief. And so that's why I think that repentance, it's not just something you do like once. It's like, God, I'm believing this again. Or God, I'm believing something different now. I'm telling my friend, hey, the enemy came at me this way. Or I'm struggling with this now. And you say, well, that's not true. That's not truth. That's not who God says He is. Like, let's look at God's Word. Let's go to prayer. Let me speak this truth over you. Like, over and over again, repeat. Like, repentance is something. You just keep on repeat. Just keep it on repeat. You know, like that favorite song? Yeah. You just listen to it every day. Every single day. Have it on repeat. God, this is what I'm believing. I don't think it's true. I got sorrow in my soul. I got conviction in my soul. But God, I need you to change me. I need you to bring up what is true to my heart and to my life, whether it's through your word, through prayer, or another person. But God, I don't want to be stuck in this belief. I don't want to stay here. God, change my mind. That is repentance. That today is the invitation that I have for you today. Why does this matter so much to me? Why does this matter so much to God? When Jesus comes on the scene, he says, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And I think Jesus says that, he says, listen, my kingdom is good news. My kingdom has the power and the authority to break down the walls and the powers of sin and darkness. And Jesus is saying, listen, freedom is here for you. Salvation is here for you. And so he's just urging us to just repent. Repent. Like Jesus, this is so important. It matters so much because we don't have to stay stuck in our experience and beliefs that lead, as it said in Corinthians, to death. But rather today we can have life. Now I'm going to invite you to stand with us this morning. And we're going to go into a place of repentance and just reflection today. And so I'm going to just encourage, just for a moment, would you just, Eric, maybe just find us just a short little song or just a short little moment here, just something to add into this moment as we just have a moment of response and prayer. We aren't going to have worship come up. We're just going to have you just kind of sit here just for the next few moments. And we're just going to encourage you just to sit and to pray and just to reflect. The invitation today is to repent. It's to repent. Like today, you don't have to stay in your unbelief. God is gracious and he is merciful and he is kind. And I want to speak specifically. Maybe today you've been struggling with the belief that you can be forgiven. That's been at the core of what you've been struggling with. That's been at the core of what you've been dealing with. That you just believe that you cannot be forgiven. Listen, that is a lie straight from hell. Like all sins, past, present, and future, it says that in Jesus' name they have been forgiven. And it's not something that maybe that you're believing that you have to earn. It's actually something you receive through faith. You believe that maybe God just doesn't love you because of what you've done or because of the life that you've been living. You feel guilt and shame all over you. But listen, the truth is that God loves you so much, so much. John 3:16, the passage of which we have just fallen in love with, is that he loved you so much that he sent his son for you. Like there's no greater love than when you lay down your life for one's friend. And that's what Christ says that he has done for us. He loves you so much, he sent his son to die for you so that you may experience this freedom that is offered today. And then the last lie I want to speak directly into, some of you today believe that you have to do it all on your own. No. You don't have to. The world tells you you have to. Now listen, there's things that you have to bring to the table, your humility, your honesty, and your willingness to walk these things out. But listen, you don't have to do it on your own. We do all of this that we have just mentioned today. We repent in the name of Jesus through his power, through his strength, through his authority. Listen, Jesus, he is all powerful. Jesus has all authority. Jesus is sufficient. So that we may finally come to know who he really is. So, I want to invite you, just bow your heads just for a few moments. And we pray that right now, over the next few moments, that God would just begin to just show you what that unbelief is. He would show you where the struggles is.
Spirit of God, pour out on us. We need your direction.
don't have to stay the way that you came in. You can leave today different. You can live today free. You can live today in the salvation of God. So respond to the word. Respond to what you're feeling in your heart. Listen, if you need to come forward to an altar, if you want to go to a prayer team member in the back, but listen, you can do this right where you are. Change your beliefs. Change your heart. Allow the Spirit of God to work in you right here, right now, in this moment. And it has been a powerful place to be today. And we are so thankful that God has brought you here today. And we pray that as you have just sat in this text and sat in what the Lord and the Spirit has brought to you today, listen, you would begin to encounter Him in a new way, that you would be able to encounter the new truths that He has for you. Next week, we're going to continue to walk this out a little bit more. Next week, I'm going to bring to you just real strongly in the name of Jesus, like who God is. We're going to be celebrating over the next few weeks a lot of truth. And listen, today, if you need that truth, listen, come back again next Sunday. If you have a friend that needs that truth, invite him to come be a part of it. But we are so thankful that you are here today with us. We want to encourage you that, listen, God has brought you here for a reason and a purpose. A couple things we also want to share with you is that next week, in order to be, we're having something called Next Step Session. So maybe you've been attending for a while and looking to get connected in one way or another. We've got an opportunity to next week sit down, tell you more about our church, and invite you to be a part of a serving team or be a part of a community. So if you're looking for that, we would encourage you to join us next Sunday after second service. There is a decide card in your seats that you can fill out and take it to the welcome area. Also, if you were a first-time guest today, fill out the card. We'd love to know you. We'd love to follow up with you and continue to walk with you as you follow Jesus or come to know Him for the very first time. Well, guys, it's been an awesome place to be. Have a great Sunday, and we will see you again soon.